Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you from the Rocky Mountain town of Crested Butte, Colorado. I am your host, Mark Troutman, CFP. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. In this week's episode, I thought we would dive a little bit deeper into how you could consider automating your finances and putting things on autopilot and just making small corrections as needed. This is something that my wife and I did in our mid-20s. Once we've started figuring things out, we started putting everything on autopilot, and it enabled us to meet our primary goals. And I had touched on this in episode 2, entitled A Simple Mantra: Make Some, Save and Invest, Live on the Rest, in that we were saving and investing first and then spending what was left over. And this automation process enables you to do that. And we also touched on this a little bit in episode 7, The Financial Order of Operations. So I really want to go through this in detail and give you an insight into how we've been able to automate pretty much everything at this point. And this worked well during our accumulation years when we were receiving paychecks, and it still works well today, even in the distribution phase that I'm in now in retirement. One of the key items is your paycheck, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but also having a primary cash management account. Traditionally, we had used a bank account at a local bank, but today there are a lot better options out there where you can do this with online banks or even bank accounts associated with brokerage firms. And this is something that I have gravitated to more recently. And I want to talk about a couple of options, at least two that I have found very beneficial, and I think a lot of people in the financial independence community are aware of. So I just want to talk about those two first. And this is not an endorsement of any of these by any means. It's just ones that I've used and have found very beneficial. And there very well could be other accounts that are similar that may serve in a similar fashion. So the two that I came down to after doing a lot of research were the Schwab Investor Checking Account and the Fidelity Cash Management Account. And the reason I found these two accounts to be good candidates were for a number of reasons, and they have a lot of similarities, and I want to go through those. So they are online, they're not physical banks, but they are banks nonetheless, or the money in those accounts is FDIC insured, for example. And both accounts provide reimbursement for ATM fees. So you can use any ATM and they will reimburse those ATM fees. You can set up direct deposit to both of these accounts. They offer check writing. They give you checks that you can write if you need to. Many people don't write very many checks anymore, but it is good to have that ability. They both have bill pay, so you can pay your bills online. There are no wire transfer fees at Fidelity. At Schwab, there may be a fee. It depends on your account balance, I believe. And then the other difference is foreign transaction fees. Fidelity does charge a 1% foreign transaction fee, where Schwab has a 0% foreign transaction fee. So a lot of people in the financial independence community that, for instance, travel a lot overseas or even live overseas part of the year or are nomads really like the Schwab Investor Checking Account for that reason. So you can withdraw cash. And I've done this myself when I was in Indonesia last year. I went to a local ATM. I withdrew cash in the local currency. My ATM fee was reimbursed by Schwab and there was no foreign transaction fee. It was very beneficial. So I do have that account and I actually opened it for that reason because I was going to be traveling internationally. The Fidelity Cash Management, I would have been able to get reimbursed for the ATM fee. I would have been able to get local currency, but I would have been charged a 1% foreign transaction fee. So that's why a lot of people that are traveling internationally, like the Schwab Investor Checking Account. However, I will tell you why I have leaned towards the Fidelity Cash Management account for my kind of core operating account. And the reason is primarily because of the, besides the foreign transaction fee, the accounts are in essence identical, but the interest I receive on the cash in my Fidelity Cash Management account currently is 2.69%, and that's in a FDIC bank sweep account. In the Schwab account, currently the interest rate is 0.45%, also in an FDIC bank sweep type account. So you're getting quite a higher interest rate on the Fidelity Cash Management account. And Fidelity has announced that around June 15th, and I'm recording this on June 17th, and I did check this morning to see if it was available yet. They said around June 15th, you could change your core cash option in your Fidelity Cash Management account to the Fidelity Government Money Market Fund. Now, that's not FDIC insured, but it is a government money market fund. And that fund currently yields 4.97%. So that is something I will do once it becomes available, hopefully in the next few days, and therefore my cash will earn 4.97%, any cash that's in that account. Of the two accounts, I think they're both great options. The Fidelity Cash Management account, I've decided to use that as my core cash account. And the reason I mentioned the core cash account is because it's very integral to this whole process. So first, I want to talk about it from the standpoint of someone who is working and earning a paycheck. When you receive a paycheck at work, typically you are going to have it direct deposited into your bank account. So what I would do, I would have them direct deposit my paycheck into my cash management account. And in my case, that would be a Fidelity cash management account, as we just discussed. However, part of that paycheck would go to, before the net amount is sent to me, part of it would go to, if I had a 401k plan, which is what I had at work while I was working, I would direct a percentage of my paycheck directly to that. In my case, I was choosing to max out my 401k, and that is not possible for some people. That could be a very high percentage of your paycheck. But I would suggest, I like to think of the kind of minimum amount to potentially contribute to a 401k or a 403b if you have it, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10%. Like I said, in the Financial Order of Operations episode 7, we talked about some of these percentages. I certainly would do enough to get the full match from the company, but I think shooting for a minimum of 10% is a great goal. And then, of course, if you can increase that, that would be awesome. Now, when I was working, I did not have a health savings account eligible medical insurance plan at work. But if I did, that would be something I would have considered. We didn't have that. But today, that is an option for many people. And if it makes sense for you, then you could consider contributing directly from your paycheck to your health savings account, HSA. And you circumvent the Medicare and Social Security tax. You do not pay that on those contributions. And in many cases, employers will also contribute to your HSA as well. So that's something to definitely consider. And then from your paycheck, you are going to have taxes withheld. So a lot of things are going on here. You're getting some of your investment contributions directly withdrawn from your paycheck, your HSA if you have one, and your tax withholding. When you first start working at an employer, you will fill out the Form W-4, which will ask you a number of questions in order to set up your withholding correctly. And the goal is to have the appropriate amount of taxes withheld from your paycheck so that you do not owe any taxes when it comes time to file your taxes in April of the following year. So the goal is to have enough withholding done so you don't have any extra taxes to pay, and therefore you don't have any penalty for under withholding, and you don't have to make any estimated taxes. So that's the goal with the paycheck. Pay yourself first. Pay that 401k or 403b, make those investments, the HSA, have the tax withholding, and then the net paycheck drops down into your cash management account. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, I am putting up a kind of a flow chart of how all of this works. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, feel free to come back to the YouTube version and you can see how all of this works in visual format. Okay, so now we have our paycheck going into our cash management account. So now what? Many people will be paid usually twice a month. Often I was all paid on the 1st and the 15th. I know some people are paid every other week, and others may be paid once a month, for example. So the timing of those paychecks may be a reason to set up different bills to be paid differently throughout the month, for example. So one of the other things that I like to consider, because we haven't talked about all of the savings options that we discussed in the financial order of operations, for example. So you may also want to be contributing to, let's say, a Roth IRA or savings accounts for specific items like your emergency fund or a vacation fund or a fund account or sinking funds for things like auto expenses that you know will occur but aren't going to occur every month, or home maintenance, for example, or any other miscellaneous savings. And I like to use, and I think we talked about this in a previous episode, but I like to use online savings accounts so that I get a reasonable rate of interest, but also ones that allow me to create different sub-accounts. And the one I use is Ally Bank. Again, this is no affiliation. It's just one that I happen to use that allows me to create different savings buckets within that single savings account. I can also direct money to go to that overall account and tell it to, as money comes in, to distribute it accordingly into each one of those buckets I've designed. I know that there are other online banks out there that do the same. So I would encourage you to look for a bank that allows you to create these separate savings buckets. And we talked about having an emergency account, for example, of 3 to 6 months of your kind of base living costs. And so that would certainly be one of those buckets I like to have in my savings account. And I would think most people would like to have that. And also, you may want to contribute to a brokerage account, a standard taxable brokerage account. So one of the things to do is to consider setting up automatic distributions from your cash management account that align with your paycheck frequency. And typically what I would suggest you do is wait maybe 2 or 3 days after the paycheck. So let's say you get paid on the 1st, and then maybe you make those automatic contributions to your Roth IRA, if that's one of the things you want to do, your savings account or your brokerage account or all three, on, let's say, the 3rd or 4th or 5th of the month, so that there's always a little bit of leeway in if for some reason the paycheck doesn't come in on the 1st, maybe it's because of a weekend or a holiday, that the distribution going out is not potentially affected by that paycheck coming in a day or two later. So set it up maybe three or four days after the paycheck normally would come in. And then you can decide if you have, let's say, 2 paychecks in a month, which paycheck do you want to pay for some of those larger bills? And that's the next part I want to get to. What I like to do is have all of the bills possible to be paid by my credit cards automatically. So for instance, my utility bills, any streaming services, for example, my cell phone bill, anything that I can automate and have it automatically paid by a credit card, I choose to do that for simplicity purposes. And also, as we talked about in the credit card episode, it enables me to get some points. Now, of course, and I'll talk about this in a moment, we're paying these credit cards, or I'm paying these credit cards off in full every month. So I'm using a credit card like a debit card. But there are some bills that you can't necessarily have paid by a credit card. Typically, these would include things like your mortgage, property taxes if you pay them directly, and any loans you might have, student loan, auto loan, anything like that. Again, hopefully you don't have too many loans and you are working to pay those down. But as long as you do have loans, those are typically not going to be able to be paid by a credit card, especially things like a mortgage or rent. In my case, that was always due on the first. I know some mortgage companies allow you to set up a payment date, a different payment date, but in most cases, mortgage and rent are due on the first. So you can decide which paycheck that's going to go against. And then as far as the credit cards go, I set those up to be paid automatically, statement balance in full from my cash management account. And so effectively what's happening is the bills that I can't pay with a credit card are being paid directly, and I'm setting those up to be paid automatically where I can. And in most cases, at least in all the cases that I have, I can set them up to be paid automatically from that cash management account. The other bills are being charged to the credit cards, again, automatically where they can be. And then the credit cards are being automatically paid on the due date from the cash management account. So effectively, everything is automated, and I'm just kind of monitoring the process. Now, the one thing that I'm definitely monitoring is the charges on the credit cards. And I do this using a spreadsheet. I also use Quicken, and I enter all of my charges as they occur. You could potentially have them downloaded automatically. There are plenty of other programs out there that allow you to monitor your cash flow. And of course, you want to make sure there's always enough in your checking account to pay those bills, especially since they're all automatically paid. So the one thing that I like to do is I like to have a 1 month buffer of cash in my cash management account. Now, you could look at this as kind of part of your emergency savings reserve. We talked about 3 to 6 months of emergency savings reserve. I'm earning interest on this cash management account at a pretty good rate. So effectively, I like to be a month ahead in my cash management account. And so you could consider that as 1 month of your 3 to 6 months of emergency funds, for example. And so you've always got that buffer so that you hopefully won't run into a situation where there's not enough money in that cash management account to pay those bills that you're paying directly out of the account and those contributions you're making automatically to the accounts that aren't being contributed to directly from your paycheck, the IRA, for example, your savings accounts, your brokerage account, and those credit cards that are being paid in full every month. So that's kind of the entire process. And again, I would encourage you to come over to the YouTube channel where I have posted this as part of the video. You can see the cash flow, and it's quite easy to follow when you see it in that kind of flowchart format. Now, so how does this work when you're retired? So it gets to be a little bit different, but it's very similar. So, for instance, I no longer have a paycheck, so I have to create my own paycheck. And this works pretty easily, with the exception of taxes. Taxes are a little bit different in this case because, and I'm also showing this over in the YouTube channel, this kind of different cash flow as it relates to a retired person, for example. And this is a retired person, me, for example, that is not currently receiving any other income. So all the income has to come from the investment accounts. Now, if you're receiving rental income or Social Security or a pension, that could be a quasi paycheck for you. And you could, for instance, withhold taxes from that. But I don't have those right now. I will eventually have Social Security, but at the moment, I don't. And once that's turned on, I will utilize the ability to withhold from that Social Security check to hopefully pay for as much of my taxes as possible. But in the meantime, there are some workarounds that I have been able to do and anyone can do if they're literally living off of their investment accounts. So again, I encourage you to come over to the YouTube channel and you can see the kind of flow chart that I've put together here. From the standpoint of paying your bills directly, the bills being paid by the credit card and the credit cards being paid by the cash management, all that is exactly the same. Nothing changes there. The only difference changes in the kind of top portion or the portion before the money comes into the cash management account. And in retirement, I'm not contributing to my investment accounts anymore. I'm withdrawing from those accounts at this point. In the cash flow, you can see I've divided into maybe taxable accounts, always taxable accounts, and never taxable accounts. In the maybe taxable accounts, and some of this was discussed in the episode 9, accessing funds in early retirement. So I won't get into a lot of the details there. Go and listen to that episode when we talk about maybe taxable, always taxable, never taxable. But maybe taxable includes your savings and brokerage accounts. Always taxable includes your 401k and 403b, your traditional IRAs, those accounts where you deferred the income, all of the contributions were tax deferred. And then your never taxable accounts are your Roth 401k and 403b, Roth IRAs and HSAs. So what I'm doing here, and you can see in the graphic, is I'm creating a paycheck, and that paycheck is coming from initially the savings and brokerage accounts, for example, primarily brokerage account in my case. And if need be, some money can come over from the Roth accounts, for example. And you may ask, well, why not the always taxable account? Well, for two reasons. One is I'm under age 59 and a half, so therefore there would be a penalty for withdrawing from a traditional IRA or IRA rollover from my 401k, for example, but I can do conversions. And I do have an inherited IRA, and this would also apply if I was age 59 and a half or older. I could do withdrawals from those always taxable accounts, tax-deferred accounts, and withhold the taxes. So I actually do that today. If I need to pay any taxes, I can make a distribution from my inherited IRA. And once I turn 59 and a half, my traditional IRA or IRA rollover, and have taxes withheld. And in my case, my accounts happen to be at Vanguard and they allow me to withhold up to 99% of that distribution. And the reason withholding is better than paying estimated taxes, which I certainly could do. And you see that in the graphic here, that might be a contribution from the cash management account to pay estimated taxes. Estimated taxes have to be paid quarterly. And the IRS looks at it from the standpoint of they want your taxes paid in equal installments four times throughout the year. Now, withholding is a little different in that if you withhold taxes, even if you did it all in December, for example, the IRS considers that as if it was paid equally throughout the year. So there's an advantage to using withholding over paying estimated taxes. So I choose to do that if I feel that I'm going to be short paying taxes, which is the case in most years. I will take a distribution from my inherited IRA at the moment because I'm under age 59 and a half and withhold 99% of it to satisfy my tax obligation. Now, what I'm also doing is I'm doing Roth conversions, which are a taxable event. And I'm typically doing those at the beginning of the year. And I may do a top-off conversion at the end of the year when I have a better understanding of what my tax situation is going to be. I don't have any income that I necessarily have to worry about, but there are certain things like interest and dividends and things like that in a taxable brokerage account that do affect my overall tax situation. So I will do a conversion usually in January and then a top-off one in December. I don't want to over-convert early in the year and then wish I hadn't converted as much because there are no do-overs when it comes to conversions. The paycheck is primarily coming from my brokerage account. And once that is depleted, and eventually that may be depleted and The money that I have left is just in my Roth IRA 401k. If I had one, it's IRA in my case, HSA, and my traditional IRA or rollover IRA, which came from my 401k. At that point, I would probably still be doing conversions until I hit required minimum distribution age, which for me is 75, instead of making distributions directly and using the money. And here's why. Because if I convert from my rollover IRA, for example, or traditional IRA into my Roth IRA, and then make withdrawals as needed from my Roth IRA, the interest I'm receiving in the meantime is tax-free because that money has been moved to the Roth IRA. The interest that is earning on those funds during the year before I actually need it for my, quote, paycheck, the interest is accumulating tax-free in the Roth. So I choose to go that route instead of making distributions from my traditional IRA, for example, if I was over age 59 and a half, potentially withholding taxes on that distribution to satisfy that, and then putting the money directly into my cash management account. So that's the process. And it is a lot easier to see this in visual format. So again, I encourage you to go over to the YouTube channel where you can see that a little clearer. If I need to make any estimated taxes, I will pay those out of my cash management account. And my goal would be to pay them in equal installments throughout the year. That's not always possible. So withholding where I can do that, especially since I have an inherited IRA, I can do the withholding very easily. So I really don't need to make estimated tax payments. But if I did not have an inherited IRA and I was under age 59 and a half, I would need to do estimated taxes, and I would likely be doing that either directly from my brokerage account or more likely sending the money from my brokerage account or savings account into my cash management account, and then from the cash management account paying those taxes as it's depicted in the graphic here. And then when it comes to bills, it works exactly the same. The only real difference in retirement is how do I create that replacement paycheck? And that's what I just described from the investment side. Now, when I get to a point where Social Security is turned on, that effectively reduces the need for the full amount to come from my investment account. So initially, I would withhold potentially from my Social Security, and you can actually contact Social Security and tell them how much you want withheld. There's like four different levels of withholding that you can do from your Social Security. So depending on your other income, you may want to withhold a significant amount of your Social Security just to get that withholding done. If you have a pension, many pensions allow you to create withholding from them as well. So that's an option. The bill side, the paying the bills, works exactly the same. So the same process of pre-retirement works in post-retirement when it comes to paying bills directly from the cash management account. Having a buffer, I like to, again, have a 1 month buffer in my cash management account. I have all bills that can be paid by credit cards, charged to those credit cards, and then those credit cards paid in full every month directly from my cash management account. And you can go onto your credit card platform and tell them, I want my bill paid in full on the due date from this cash management account. And they will do that. And so that's how I make sure all my credit cards are paid. And like I said, I still monitor all the charges on the credit card. I put them in Quicken. Again, you could use a plethora of other options out there to track your finances. That's just the one that I choose and have used for decades, and it works for me. And I'm just kind of sitting back and monitoring the situation and making minor adjustments when necessary. Now, the one thing I didn't talk about, and I want to go back to a little bit, is you can actually contact your credit card company and tell them the dates you want your credit card's due date. I would prefer to actually be able to ask them what date is the closing date. And I would, if I could, ask them for it to be on the first, just so that all the cards were kind of tracking for the prior month, because all the charges would be from the prior month, for example. And then that would give me a nice clean view on all of my expenses for the month. I went online recently to see if you could do that. And the cards that I have allow me to choose the due date, but not necessarily the statement date. But most cards' due dates are 25 days after the statement date. So if you said, I want it, all my cards to be due on the 25th, for example, then most likely your statement date is going to be somewhere around the 1st. So that's a workaround. And some people will like to set their credit cards up to be due. Let's say you got paid twice a month. Maybe all your credit cards are paid by one paycheck and your non-credit card bills like your mortgage or any loans are paid by your other paycheck. And that tends to work pretty well for people. So if you're paid on, let's say, the 15th and the last day of the month, I think that's how my schedule was, and your rent is due on the 1st, maybe that could be paid by your second paycheck, and then the first paycheck could pay for your credit cards, or vice versa. I might even choose to flip it around, because if I'm not getting my paycheck till the 31st and the rent's due on the 1st, that may make me a little nervous. So maybe what I want is that first paycheck that is received on the 15th to fund my bills that are due right at the beginning of the following month. And then the paycheck I get at the end of the month or for the bills that are due at the beginning of the month. So in that case, maybe you want to set your credit card due date for earlier in the month as a possibility. But the reality is you can tell your credit card company to pay your credit card. They'll be happy to receive it earlier than the due date. I just like to keep the money in my cash management account and earn interest as long as possible and just set them up to be paid on the due date, even though I could technically tell them to pay it earlier. And many give you that option. The last date they will allow you to pay it is on the due date, and I'm fine setting it up that way. And that's what I do for my cards to get the maximum amount of interest on that money. And again, if you pay your credit cards in full every month, there's no interest charge. So you're basically getting a free loan from the credit card company. Again, you must pay your cards off in full every month. If you carry even a small balance from one month to the next, they're going to charge you interest on the average outstanding balance on the prior month and all of your charges on the current month. So you definitely don't want to do that, because then earning money on your cash management account is not offsetting the interest on your credit card. So then you would want to pay it as soon as possible. But as long as you're paying your cards off in full every month and getting the zero interest charge, you might as well take advantage of the float and then earn the interest on your cash management account. And again, I'm monitoring this throughout the month. My program Quicken actually allows me to project my cash balances out in my cash management account as long as I want. And it is seeing all of the charges flowing into my credit cards and making the assumption that they are going to be paid in full, because that's what I tell it. And it's projecting out the cash flow of my account. So I can really just monitor what is my future cash flow look like from that cash management account on that Quicken dashboard. And that's pretty much what I'm doing. So I could probably run lower than having a one-month buffer, but I just really like that one-month buffer, and I feel like there's no harm in that one-month buffer because it's earning interest in that cash management account. Now, this cash management account that I set up at Fidelity is relatively new for me. I did it a couple of months ago, and it's been working quite well. And the only downside to having your only checking account at, let's say, this Fidelity account, for example, or Schwab, is what if you need to go into a bank for some banking purposes? Now, I have kept an account, a checking account at my, I won't name the bank, but it's a large national bank, and I have an account that offers me no monthly fee as long as I keep a very nominal amount in that account. So effectively, I have just put that nominal amount in that account so that I don't get charged the monthly fee. It gives me the ability to go in and do banking in that branch or any of their branches if I need to. It's actually an account that comes with some extra perks. So for instance, if I need a notary, or if I needed a bank check recently and it was included, and I think the minimum balance on that account in order to avoid the fee is $500. Oh, no, I'm sorry. On that account, that was a different account that it will end up getting closed. On the account I have, I actually have a mortgage with that institution. It's funny. The mortgage was originally with a different bank that ended up selling it back to my own bank. But as long as I have a mortgage at that bank and an account connected to it, even though it's not being, the mortgage isn't being paid by that account, which is weird, but it's an associated mortgage, I don't get charged a monthly fee for that checking account. So I don't really have to keep anything in that account. I do. I keep a nominal amount just so there's some money in it. But that's what I do. Now, there was another account that they had available. So if I didn't have a mortgage, that's where that other account it could have been. As long as I kept $500 in there, there would be no monthly fee. And I'm sure there's other accounts that I potentially could downgrade it to. And some are like, if you have a direct deposit, there's no monthly fee. But I didn't want to put a direct deposit in that account. So I have decided to keep that account open just so I have the ability to go into a branch anytime I want and conduct any business that I have to do in person, for example. So that's how I have set up my kind of cash flow automation. I like to think of this as a way to automate your way to wealth and make sure you're paying yourself first and putting savings and investing at the top and then living on the difference. And this works out quite well. And what's nice is that because this is an entirely automated process, when I was away last year for quite a period of time, I didn't have to do anything. It just all automatically works. I'd automatically get paid. And when I created my kind of replacement paycheck, that's set up as an automatic distribution from my brokerage account, my brokerage money market account. And I make sure there's enough in that brokerage money market account for an extended period of paychecks. And occasionally, maybe once a year or twice a year, I have to go in there to make sure there's enough in that account to pay for the paychecks for the next, you know, 6 months, 6 to 12 months. And that's just personally what I like to have, at least 12 months of kind of cash in these investment accounts to pay that paycheck. So my paycheck's coming in automatically, just as it would if you had an employer with direct deposit. The taxes, I do have to do something once a year and make a distribution from my traditional IRA, for example, or inherited IRA, and withhold 99%. So that's one thing I have to do, but that's once a year I have to do that. And then my bills are automatically paid. I don't have any bills that can't be paid automatically. So there was only one bill recently that was my garbage bill that couldn't be paid automatically. And I ended up setting it up for bill pay, and bill pay was paying it automatically. So that worked as long as the amount was the same every month, which it was, fortunately. But if it wasn't, I would have had to go in and make an adjustment. But now that can be paid by credit card. So yay, all my bills can be paid automatically. So that's kind of how the whole system works, and it works really well. And I know a number of friends who I've talked to about this who have implemented it have found it to be very beneficial. And it literally is like driving a Tesla on autopilot, I guess you would say. You got to watch the road. You got to be ready to take evasive action if need be. Hopefully you don't need to do that. You might need to make some minor adjustments here and there, but for the most part, the whole system works kind of in the background with you as the driver who's being attentive to the situation and making sure you're not going off the rails. So this is how it works for me. I hope this was helpful. Again, come on over to the YouTube channel and you can see the cash flow or the flow charts that I've put on the screen, which might help a little bit to kind of visualize this a little bit better. Yeah, so this is how I do it. Hope it was helpful. And I will see you next week. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com. and put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name, or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous, and also your state of residence if you choose. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next week on the Mark's Money Mind show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.